Back9 Development is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at back9development.com.
I guess it's possible it could have been worse for Ron DeSantis on day one of his presidential campaign, where he went to Twitter Spaces, something nobody listening to this podcast really knows what it is, or what Elon Musk wants it to be, and decided to sit down with Elon Musk in apparently an attempt to make voters think that Elon Musk is endorsing Ron DeSantis, and the discussion was anything but that. We went into great detail and a full summary and critique of exactly what happened on Twitter Spaces with Ron DeSantis on Wednesday on our patron podcast, which we posted on Wednesday night. Again, if you'd like to become a patron of KKHI, we do this when there's breaking news. We waited after DeSantis and Musk had their event before we did the patron podcast. It is all there and available. I get a lot of emails from many of you saying, hey, why didn't you touch this topic or talk about this or whatever? I did that with the patron podcast. We had the news yesterday come out of the Oklahoma governor saying that he doesn't want any University of Kansas license plates in Oklahoma, a very interesting story. We talked about that on the patron podcast, and of course, the passing of Tina Turner. Things like that, as news breaks during the day, things that wouldn't make the regular podcast wind up being on the patron podcast. So if you'd like to sign up, go to kkhasissues.com, click on Become a Patron. We'd love to have you on board. We do about 3 patron podcasts a week in the newsletter, which is very popular each and every weekend at KKHI. But for Ron DeSantis, it could have gone worse, I guess, but this, you know, I got to start and preface the whole thing by saying this is like losing opening day in baseball. You can be the best team in baseball, a team that everybody loves, be filled with a roster and the highest payroll, and your opening game can just be a disaster. And that's pretty much what this was for Ron DeSantis. He's getting hammered from pretty much everyone except the 20% or so of Republicans right now that say they would vote for Ron DeSantis. Many of these people fit into a category of Republicans that mostly you and I don't like. Rhinos are all behind DeSantis. And I'm not saying he's a rhino. Okay, I think he's far more conservative than that. But the rhinos don't like Trump at all in any way, shape, or form. And he's basically, so many of the most influential people in the party like that are considered rhinos have just had personal feuds with Trump. And so they hate him, and they'll do anything to, you know, keep him from winning or whatever. So they're on the DeSantis train. But there's 20% of the electorate, and there could be much more. And I think this will be contested. I think polls will tighten. I don't think Trump will pull away here anytime soon. I think DeSantis will gain ground, but it will not be from day one. Day one was a debacle. Twitter Spaces was a mistake. None of this was right. It was boring. He went on Fox News with Trey freaking Gowdy for 40 minutes. Tucker Carlson, of course, is gone. Gowdy asked some okay questions, but he didn't ask the one question everybody wanted to hear. You know, what do you think of Trump's criticism? How are you going to beat Trump? That interview should have been at least 50% about Donald Trump, because that's the story. That's the story right now of Ron DeSantis. If you have one question for Ron DeSantis, it's not policy. We pretty much know your policy. There's not a huge differentiation between Trump and DeSantis policy-wise. One in DeSantis likely has a better chance of winning the general election. Trump just likely has a better chance of winning the nomination. And these things are all pretty clear to anybody. You don't have to be a political scientist to break some of this stuff down. But it wasn't a very good interview. It looked small time. Even on Fox News, it looked small time. So just even when DeSantis righted the ship, and his answers were great, the things that he says are outstanding. If you just take the text of everything Ron DeSantis said in the interview on Fox News, I think you'd be pretty happy with that. I think you'd look at that and go, okay, this is common sense. This guy makes sense. I want him to be my president. And I want Ron DeSantis to be my president. I want Donald Trump to be my president. There's a couple others running that I would want to be my president. I'd take Vivek Ramaswamy right now. But we get one choice in a primary, and I've got several months to decide, and I'm going to let the thing play out and analyze everything that these men and women do in this race. But for day one, I say it could have been worse for Ron DeSantis, because I guess he could have made some sort of horrific slip of the tongue on an open microphone or something, thinking he wasn't on Twitter Spaces, and created a real problem for himself. You know, Trump hit hard. I mean, he hit hard. He put out a 60. We played a 60-second ad on the Patreon podcast that Trump had ready to go as soon as DeSantis announced, and it's effective. It is not Trump. It's a narrator, and it's about DeSantis not being loyal to Trump, that he was 17 points down in his gubernatorial primary race, and Trump endorsed him, and he was able to win the nomination and then become governor, and now this man isn't loyal to Trump, that he's not loyal, he's just all about himself. It is a very, very, very effective ad. And Trump probably needs to do more of that and less of the kind of crazy and strange stuff. A lot of folks are lining up behind DeSantis. They're pretty typical people. They're anti-Trumpers. And a lot of people stepped up yesterday like Jim Jordan and said, I'm a Trump guy. Just came right out and said it. DeSantis is in. Let me make this perfectly clear. My name is Jim Jordan. I'm the congressman from Ohio, and I'm behind Donald Trump. And so they did it. It went so poorly for DeSantis on day one that he has now announced that his campaign kickoff is next week in Iowa. They're going to do it again. Okay? They're calling it a campaign kickoff, and he's going to do that in Iowa next week. Let's be honest about this. Crowds matter. Crowds will matter for DeSantis. It doesn't mean, again, I've never bought into the thing that the bigger crowds equate to winning an election or more votes. They definitely are a sign of passion for a candidate. In primaries, they matter more than general elections. It's nice to have 25,000 people at a rally in a general election. When 150 million people are going to vote, 25,000 isn't very many. Trump gets big crowds. In this particular case, DeSantis needs big crowds. He needs more than 700 in a high school gymnasium. He needs to get to some of these states, Iowa, New Hampshire. South Carolina's his best shot. He's closer to Trump in the polls in South Carolina than any other state. That makes sense. He's been governing Florida. South Carolinians know that. They've been watching what's going on in Florida. They like DeSantis. He's closer to Trump in that state than he is in Iowa or New Hampshire or some of the other early states. But the crowds will matter. DeSantis is now, he's building this up. Okay, and they're not saying, hey, it was terrible on day one. What they're saying is we had so much interest that we melted Twitter. Well, I don't think anybody's believing that. This was just a screw up on Twitter. And then 190,000 people were listening to his announcement, which isn't very many. That's a pretty low number. So DeSantis' campaign has announced that their campaign kickoff is next week in Iowa, and the crowd will matter. The optics of that will matter. Television networks will take that live. People will see it. There will be much more dissecting how it went, the mood of the crowd, and things of that nature. So I think that'll be more important. But we won't spend a lot of time here with Ron DeSantis. We did a lot yesterday with the Patreon podcast. If you want all that, go sign up. It's only $5 a month. It's only $5 a month. If you'd like to join in, we'd love to have you as a patron of KKHI. And I love creating the bonus premium content for you there for all patrons of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. My intent today was to take a completely different take on the Target retail situation than anyone else. I always like it when I think we can find something with this podcast that's different than what you're getting anywhere else. I think it's important to look beneath the surface of some of these stories. I think a lot of times in sports and in politics, people who are dug in on one side look at something and then they just go, the entire operation over there is a complete outrage. They don't do anything right. It's so wrong, blah, blah. And it just becomes a cliche and it doesn't become some sort of deep argument. There's an underlayer, a second layer of this Target story that is telling to me. And it is more nefarious than a pride section. I'm going to give you a better reason to not shop at Target than the pride section. And we have a lot of women listening to this podcast, but we have more men than women. Guys, you got to talk to the people in your family, and you got to tell them about this. This is an overtly political operation, and they are leftists. They are hard leftists. Yes, they have moved the pride section. They have made it smaller in many stores across the country. They have done that. They've done that because they're scared. They've seen what happened to Bud Light, and they're worried, and so they've moved this. But they have reiterated in a statement that they have a, quote, continued commitment to the LGBTQ+ community and will not be getting rid of their pride sections and will stand by these folks. I actually respect them for being honest and saying that. We'll have a small section somewhere in the back. We have these items if you want to come in and get them. There are more items at Target.com. I've got no problem with that. Again, members of the LGBTQ community have every right to live their life the way they live it as long as they're not harming others. When you are forcing sexual ideology that runs against the overwhelming majority of Americans, and you're forcing that on 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, you're harming others. That's where the line is crossed. I think most Americans would say, go live your life in your bedroom the way you want to live it. If you're not hurting anybody else, go for it. When you start going public and taking 2-year-olds to drag shows, teaching them at a young age to not love who they are, which is what this is, don't love who you may be, because what you think you may be, we don't really like. Especially if you're a little boy and you're white and you think you're heterosexual, we want to change that. We don't like that about you. We're going to teach you that, look at this, you could be a drag queen instead. This is teaching. This is parenting. This is a problem. It's creating problems. We know about the problems of mental health and suicide in this community. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about the real problems that we have in the LGBTQ plus communities. And it's not because other people are not accepting. It's confusion. It's gender dysphoria. There are all kinds of real problems in this community that we should be addressing on a larger scale as a whole, as a society. But we don't. And so it becomes fights over Target sections of clothing. And Target committed leftists at the highest levels of the corporation and throughout the corporation are standing by their, quote, continued commitment to these folks. They have every right to do that. I respect their honesty here in saying that. I respect that. There may be an interpretation in the LGBTQ plus community that that's just words and their actions are not a commitment because they're moving these pride sections, they're making them smaller, and they're putting them in the back of the store. What you should really be mad at Target about and what I'm really just seething over is this BS that's being peddled by the left, that white people, especially white men, are dangerous to America, that they were the number one terror threat. The connotation when Joe Biden says, you know, extreme right or MAGA Republicans are the number one terror threat in America, what he's talking about largely is white men. And white men, you don't want to be part of that. You want to switch over to this party and be part of what we're doing and not be one of those terrorists and not be a giant threat to America. So what Target has done is they've piggybacked on this because they're an overtly political operation. And now they're putting out press releases and comments like Joe Biden would or like KGP would or any of these other leftists like Obama would. Target says they're moving their sections for safety concerns. The dog whistle here is white men are threatening to come in here and kill people that work here over this pride section. They won't say it that way. That's what they're inferring. Make no mistake about it. What Target is saying is for safety and well-being concerns, we are moving these sections. We are afraid of the white guys coming in here and shooting this place up. These racists, these homophobes, these white men are going to come in here and terrorize the people that work here. What has me bothered with Target is their actual statement. Their statement says they move these sections because their employees have a quote, and this word is so powerful and meaningful, and it describes this situation completely. That some employees, some team members at Target stores have, quote, a sense of their safety and well-being. A sense? If you stop listening to the left, you won't be afraid of the white dudes. If you stop listening to Joe Biden, Barack Obama, KJP, Target Corporation, and all these other people, you won't have this false sense of insecurity. This is really important. It is only one word, and I don't know that anybody else is going to talk about this, but this is Target's way out. They want their employees scared. They want local news to go cover a Target store, interview an employee and say, oh, I'm a little scared that they're going to come in here and hurt me and do something to me. They want this. This is what the left does. This is how they divide people. They want the appearance or threat of violence, and they want it from conservatives. They want people scared of conservatives. And Target Corporation has doubled down with a commitment to LGBTQ+. And then they put out a statement that this is about their workers' safety, not their actual safety and well-being, their own sense of safety and well-being. Perceived danger. Can you imagine if this were the other way around? What if this were a retailer and they had a section of, what if Target had a section of Martin Luther King or Black History Month type things, special shirts in a section, and the white employees that work at that section say that they have a sense for their well-being because the customers that are coming in. Can you imagine? Oh, I don't know. We got all these black people coming in here to buy this stuff. I'm scared. I have a sense of a safety concern for my well-being. I mean, only in America can you be bigoted against Christians and white people and nobody else. It's just remarkable. This has me madder at Target than anything else because there is no safety concern. There is no threat. Not today. Maybe there will be in the future. If they keep this game up and they keep playing it the way they play it, you never know who's got a screw loose and may go do something nutty. I'm not saying it can't happen. There is no reason for anybody working at Target to have a sense of their own safety or well-being. This is completely made up by Target Corporation. They know they have not had death threats. They know they have not had violence at their thousands of stores. They have not had an incident anywhere, or they would be pointing to it. They would be releasing security footage. If somebody came in and started pushing over the racks and screaming at employees, they would have released that by now. We'd see that. But they don't. They start peddling this complete BS that I'm sick of, this fear of white people. We have, oh, our employees have this sense of their safety and well-being. A sense? No, that's not violence. The entire left said they're moving these stores because of all the threats that they have. There has not been a threat, not one threat, not one in any store anywhere has anyone been threatened, or Target would be telling you specifically about it. They would have reported it to the police and it would be a national story. It has not happened. This entire thing is a freaking leftist lie. Their narrative is they're moving this stuff for the safety of their employees. What safety? What threat? What's happened? Show us the video. No, their sense of their own safety. Oh, okay. So you got a bunch of bigots working for you. You have a bunch of racist bigots that are afraid of white people working for you. And you're proud of that? And you're going to put a press release out on that? Now you've got every reason to stay the hell away from Target. You may have had an open heart and an open mind and said, you know what? Gay people are nice people too, and they want to go buy a t-shirt specific to their lifestyle, whatever. They've got that right to do that. Now, you got a real reason to hate Target. This is too political. This is nefarious. This is campaigning. This is doing the work of the left to win elections and take control of the country. This is no longer about a section of t-shirts for a small number of people in America. It's not. It's about the majority. This is about we're coming after the majority of Americans. We don't like conservatives. We're going to sit here and tell you that our employees are scared to death of you, and we're going to make this now a political issue. Target, by this press release, not their gay pride section, by this press release, became completely and totally political on this issue and said, we're Democrats, we're leftists, and we only like leftists. We are not afraid to say publicly, our employees are scared of conservatives. That's what they're saying. Our employees are scared of Christians and conservatives, especially white men. You got every reason in the world to stay away from Target. That's it for me. That's it for me. I've gone in there with my wife a couple times, as I've said. I haven't shopped there for years. This started about 10 years ago, and they're just going farther and farther left. They're an absolute mess. Work with conservative companies. I got a whole bunch of them for you at the KK List. You know how to find it, thekklist.com. All of our sponsors are there. If you're ever wondering, hey, what is that sponsor that does Buck Roofing? What is that phone number or website? Just go to thekklist.com, and all of them have their website links there, and some of them have phone numbers that you can call. It's a great way to know that you're doing business with a company you love, a great company like Finch Knife Company, which is pocket knives. With every single line of pocket knives, series of knives that they do, there's some sort of nod to Americana, whether it's an animal or a bird or history or whatever it may be. We told you about the Hatfield and the McCoy series coming out. The Flint series is out now. We live very close to the Flint Hills. It's out now, and you're going to love it. It's got a 3-inch blade, satin finish, titanium clip. They're online at finchknifeco.com or see them at Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. BeStock.net has a red tag deal this week at the KK List. An Apple MacBook Pro 13.3-inch space gray. Started the week at $999. I'm not sure exactly what the price is right now because by the time you listen, we don't know. But I can tell you about KKHI specials at BeStock.net. They want to show all their appreciation to the local community and listeners of KKHI with a Samsung TU-7000 65-inch TV for $399 and the 70-inch for $429. Now, that's in-store for KKHI listeners only. You have to mention the podcast. Make sure you let them know you heard the ad. It is not marked down in the store. Buy with confidence. The BeStock team are with you from the start of your purchase till the very end. They can add warranties to any item if it doesn't already have one for as little as $5. Again, the Samsung 65, $399, 70-inch, $429 in store only. Just mention the podcast. The price is not there unless you mention the podcast. Do it. What a great graduation gift. You got a kid graduating high school, going to need a TV for college? Go grab one of these for $399. They'll have the biggest big screen in the dorm. How good will that be? BeStock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. And low interest rates are back at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Home of the lifetime warranty, 1.9% APR on Chevy Silverados, 1.9% APR on Blazers, Equinox, Trailblazers, 0.9% on GMC Sierra 1500s. It is all right there. GMC Terrain SUVs, 1.9% APR. Your trade-in's worth more than ever. You get the lifetime warranty. They've got over 100 cars in stock, vehicles in stock right now, or you can have it built out the way you want. There's also $500 cash back for the month of May for all active and veteran military. Through May, through this weekend, robertsrobinson.com, Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC, we are professional grade. Anheuser-Busch is offering free beer. It's true. Anheuser-Busch essentially is offering free beer. Here's how this works. There's a $15 rebate. You can get it online. Or you can do the scan code in the store where they have proper displays. Use your phone, take the picture, whatever. Print out the rebate. Buy your beer. It's a little work now. You got to send the receipt in, right? And get $15 on a prepaid MasterCard. They'll mail it to you right in the mail. $15 comes right back to you. So here's the deal. Many stores overstocked with Bud Light with this rebate are selling the 20 packs for $14.99. It's happening in Wisconsin, New Hampshire, a lot of places. They can't do it in every state because it essentially becomes free beer. You buy it, you get the QR code, you mail in your receipt or you email the receipt to them, and they send you a Visa or MasterCard prepaid card for $15. It's a free 20-pack of Bud Light. Free. Free beer. Now, these breweries have employees, and they're built to brew 30% more beer than's being consumed right now. They got a problem on their hands. They need this beer. Even if they have to give it away and just write off the losses, they got to keep this beer moving because they got more beer getting ready to ship because they've been brewing it. You don't just make it in a day. So they've got a backlog here. They're going to have a supply problem. They're going to be overstocked. I hear some people say, well, maybe there's going to be a shortage of Coors Light and Miller Light. I don't believe that. These macro breweries are always built for big hits where there are times of the year where more beer is sold, whatever. And I think they can ramp that thing up pretty quickly. I don't see it. Plus, there's so many brands of beer available that even if there was, you know, your liquor store, I don't know how many cases, let's say, of Coors Light they get. Let's say they get 30 packs in there, and you go in to get a 30 pack and they're gone until they can get another shipment in tomorrow or the next day or whatever. I could see that, but I don't see them running out. Still, if they get enough publicity, there could be a run on this stuff. I think it's amazing. It's not just Bud Light, folks. If you go in and buy Budweiser, I got a buddy that has drank nothing but Bud Select for a number of years. I drink Michelob Ultra. Any of these brands, you go get one of these AB brands, American brands, not one of their, I don't think it's one of their international brands, one of these American brewed brands of beer from Anheuser-Busch, and you fill out the code, you get $15 back. So in some cases, you may spend $21 on a 24-pack, and it's only going to wind up costing you $6 because you get $15 back. They're offering $15 back in a lot of places. That will get you free beer. That'll get you free beer. It's only a two-week promotion. You have till the end of May, I think, right? And it's a little bit of work. And then you have a few days left in June to get your stuff sent in. So it's not automatic. And everybody's different. For some people, $15 doesn't matter enough to be worth the trouble of doing it. And for others, the thought of a free 20-pack of Bud Light is fantastic. And they're going to go grab it. And they're going to do it. That's what Anheuser-Busch is doing right now. From a group called the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, they have put out a report this week that says since Roe versus Wade was overturned, and it always sounds wrong to promote it that way. I think the way this should always be said is since the Supreme Court kicked abortion back to the states and said it's a states' rights issue, there is no federal law. There's no federal law on abortion on the books. Since the court sent it back to the states and said, do your own laws until we get a federal law, do your own law. According to Pro-Life America, 60,000 fewer abortions have been performed. And with the new states coming on this year, they expect annually 200,000 fewer abortions in America. 200,000 fewer abortions. Can you imagine? Because we kicked this back to the states instead of keeping it as a Supreme Court ruling, which is basically all it was a Supreme Court ruling. There's never been a law. I will repeat this again to anyone on either side. Get a federal law. It's coming. At some point, we're going to have a federal law. It may be 20 years. At some point, there will be a federal law on this issue. There will be. I don't think it requires a constitutional amendment or anything like that. I don't. I think a law is great, and I think the law should be law of the land, and if we change the society at some point and decide that we don't like that law, you can change it and do it again. I believe all these things. Write a law. That's what Congress is supposed to do. That's the way our federal government's supposed to work. I like it as a states' rights issue. Don't get me wrong. But as long as we keep this issue out there for Democrats on national elections, Republicans have a huge problem. If there were a federal law, it takes it off the books. There's no campaigning. There's nothing. There's just a law. There's a law in place, and it's no longer an issue. It is now clearly in the United States a losing issue for Republicans. It is. It's a losing issue. So I personally would like to see a law in the books because there's going to be laws in every state and there's no keeping people from going from one state to another to get these things performed. But I love hearing, again, I can't verify these numbers or anything like that, but Pro-Life America saying we have that many fewer abortions, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool stuff. Holiday weekend, Memorial Day sales event taking place at Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Wow, have they got it going on. They've got outdoor furniture, game room furniture, arcade games, theater seating, area rugs, all marked down from 30 to 80% off. Take delivery now or they'll hold it for you. They have interest-free financing, 0%, 72 months. Wow. That is big-time stuff. It's at Amini's. Thursday and Friday, open until 7, Saturday, 10 to 6, Sunday, 12 to 5, Memorial Day, 10 to 7. Let me repeat that again. They are open every day, all holiday weekend. So even if you are doing a bunch of fun stuff and you want to go shopping, you can save big Memorial Day sales event at Amini's Galleria, 105th and Metcalf, online at aminis.com. I got a text from a buddy this week that he went to Advanced Medical Imaging and had the heart scan done. He said it looks good. He was inspired by hearing about it here and the fact that his mother had some health issues related to her heart in the past year or so and thought, well, I better get this checked out. If it's in the family, I better check it out. I'm like, that's pretty good. He's feeling good about himself, and his mom is dealing with what she has, and they feel pretty good about where she is at this point. Don't let this be the one that gets you. You know, and I it's just easy enough to get a heart scan. You know, you look at even what happened to Bill Self this past year, all the blockage and everything that he had, and didn't know it. Get the scan. Get the heart scan. If you're over 40, do this. Do it once a year. Doesn't take much time. You don't take your clothes off. You're there 5 minutes. They just put the little things on your chest underneath your shirt. They do the scan. They send the scan to your doctor. In a couple of days, your doctor says, hey, you got a zero plaque score. You're good. Do this. Advanced Medical Imaging. Online at MedImageKS.com. That's MedImageKS.com. It's also the best place for an MRI or a CAT scan. If that's what you need because you got something else going on, don't wait 3 weeks. Get it done today at Advanced Medical Imaging. And, of course, Fryer Orthodontics, Dr. Jeremy will give you the perfect smile for life. Whether you're a teenager, a pre-teenager, or an adult that just wants a better smile, they've got the great products and services at Fryer Orthodontics that will make the experience for you perfect from start to finish. Customer service matters. Your experience matters. It's not like you think of this as something that's going to be fun, but because they're so fun in the workplace, they make it an experience when you're there that it's not something that you dread going to. That matters. It really does. FryOrthodontics.com is the website. There's 13 locations in our area, and your smile is just the start at Fry Orthodontics. On to sports. Here we go. Andy Reid, in reaction to the NFL approving 32-0, the new kickoff fair catch rule. The NFL has adopted the college rule. If you watch college football, you know that if you have a kicker that can kick it high and short to, say, the 12-yard line, they just fair catch in college and they get the ball at the 25. The NFL has now said, we like that rule. We don't want to get our players pummeled down there because the kickers are getting better at kind of pooching it down inside the 25, and you can really go down there and hammer a dude. So I'm with Andy on this one. Andy isn't saying this is a bridge too far, but Andy is not happy with the rule change. He tells NFL Network, if you start to take too many pieces away from the game, you're going to be playing flag football. Andy Reid, if you start to take too many pieces away from the game, you'll be playing flag football. He's right. This isn't the hill to die on. Kickoffs are largely kicked out of the end zone anyway. So this isn't the one. I think what he's saying is I don't like the new culture. What's going on is the owners like their money so much, and there is such peace in sharing the money in football. It's a formula. It's a percentage formula. It's close to 50-50. The owners keep like 51% and the players get 49%, and that's how they figure out what the salary cap is every year. So everybody's winning. They don't really have to have negotiations on things like that. So what the players' union does, because it has to justify what it is and what it stands for, is they've become a player safety union. And I don't hear a lot of players screaming about player safety. I just don't. They don't think of it like that. These guys are tough young men. It physically, in the prime of their life, they believe they're invincible, and they love going out and hitting other guys. They do not mind the physicality of the sport. They know the numbers. They know the stats that later in life, some guys limp, some guys blow their knees out, some guys have physical ailments for life, but it's worth the glory of playing in the NFL, plus the paycheck kicks ass. Okay, let's be honest. But there is glory in playing football. There is celebrity. There is fame. There are beautiful women. There is a lifestyle. It is an appealing thing to a young man. If you can go play in the NFL, pretty much all of them that can want to. Every year we see a player or two say, I'm retiring at 26. My body's taking a beating. This isn't good for me. Every now and then we see that. Mostly we see that from guys like Andrew Luck, who've already cashed in what, $50 million and then walk away? Generally, we see guys like that. This isn't the hill to die on, but I applaud Andy Reid for saying it. Somebody needs to say it around the NFL. You take too many of these pieces away, and you'll be playing flag football. Patrick Mahomes met with the media as part of the little mini camp that's going on with the Chiefs here in Kansas City, and was asked about his brother and his brother's legal troubles. Mahomes basically said, quote, keep it to myself. I come to work here and just keep it to myself. I think that's the right answer. I can't criticize that. And he doesn't have to give any details and say, we're a family. We love each other. We're working our way through this. He doesn't even have to say any of that. He did go on to say that he goes to Arrowhead to play football and to take care of my family. So Patrick Mahomes very clearly feels the responsibility for not only taking care of his wife and his kids, but his brother, his mom, and his dad, and everyone else. That he's the man of the house now. And he knows that, and he wants to take care of all of them. So in that statement to me was some love for his brother. That I come here and do this job to play football and take care of my family. Nobody's questioning his desire to be the best football player he can be, or his want to, or desire, or commitment, or any of that. So that's off the table. That's not even something you think about. When he says, take care of my family, I think what he's trying to say is, right now, I really don't want to comment on this. I'm just trying to take care of a family member. He's probably hired really good lawyers for him. He's probably funding the whole thing. He's probably had a couple of sit-downs. Maybe you'll get him some counseling. I don't know what that will be or what that looks like, but it sounds like Patrick Mahomes is growing up right before our eyes, that he now feels the responsibility to take care of the entire family. Not just his small children and his wacky wife, but his brother who's in legal trouble. I respect what he said. I applaud him for adding the part that he wants to take care of his family. I think we see goodness in his eyes and in his heart, and I think he made the right decision not commenting on this thing, because I don't really know what he could add or how he could improve the situation for his brother. I think the answer to that is he can't. There's no improving it. Talk about improving. Chris Kleiman was in Kansas City on Wednesday. He's the football coach at Kansas State. They had a Catbacker event at Shawnee Mission Park. Here's what Chris Kleiman walked to the Catbacker event with in his back pocket. A brand new $45 million contract. The number one pick for the Kansas City Chiefs from Kansas City off of his team to talk about. Oh, yeah. He's got a Big 12 title ring on his finger. And his program, I know we don't do a lot of recruiting or pay attention to this, they're going to have quarterbacks leave because this program is so sick flushed with quarterbacks right now. It's crazy. Kleiman has put several quarterbacks in the NFL, and Skylar Thompson's the latest. We saw him playing in the playoffs. Are they great? Doesn't really matter now, does it? It matters if you play for Chris Kleiman. Do you get your chance? Do you get paid? And he's becoming the coach that if you're the quarterback under Chris Kleiman, the NFL is hiring your guy. Like, Will Howard never really looked like an NFL quarterback to me. You can take this to the bank. He gonna get paid. Somebody's gonna sign him. He may not get drafted. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. I don't know how strong his arm is. We'll see. He's gonna get on a roster, and somebody's gonna pay him to come in and be the third string quarterback. And let's work this guy out, and let's see what he's got, and we'll see how smart he is. Now Kleiman's gone out and gotten a $1 million quarterback in Avery Johnson, who's an incoming freshman this year. He just got a transfer from Minnesota, who was his top target a year ago, and it didn't work out for him at Minnesota, so now he's transferring to K-State. He's got a Rubley kid behind his starter that was previously the highest-rated quarterback K-State had had since Josh Freeman. I can't believe the quarterbacks he has. So, yeah, the cameras come out, the reporters come out for Chris Kleiman in Kansas City, and he drops a line with these reporters that is one of the best lines I've ever heard, because they just want the headline. They want to talk about Felix Anyedike Ozama. They want to talk about winning the Big 12. They want to talk about the $45 million contract. And he's like, you know, we won the Big 12, and we're going to have a ceremony. Our first practice is in June. We're going to give them all their rings, and we're going to do all that in a big way. We're going to have fun with that. And they said, how awesome was it to have a great team? And his response was, this is a direct quote from Chris Kleiman, I don't want to have a great team. I want to have a great program. That's a pretty good line. He had a great team last year. He did. They won the Big 12. That's great. But yeah, how hard it is to win the Big 12 in football, especially at a school like Kansas State. It doesn't have a large enrollment, not in a major metropolitan area, all those things. And he did it. And he's got a lot of really good players coming back, including that quarterback. I don't want to have a great team. I want to have a great program. Chris Klieman ain't lying. I've never seen anybody. I've always said, you know, the Chiefs were so bad for so long at trying to find a great quarterback. Andy Reid got here and it changed overnight. Like, Marty Schottenheimer didn't even really even appreciate the position of quarterback, I don't think. He didn't. And while Trent Green was good and there were some good quarterbacks here through the years, we'd have guys like Rich Gannon who would go on to be an NFL MVP. We just let him go. There was no real... The people that ran the Chiefs for so long were like, give me the big hogs in the trenches. If we win the line of scrimmage and have a good running back, we'll just go beat everybody. Well, no, you're not going to beat John Elway that way. And they never did. Chiefs now and quarterback, they get it. They've gotten it since the day Andy got here. Chris Klieman and quarterback, relentless. Relentless. And he knows how to coach them. And he puts them in a system where there's some balance and there's a running game, which makes them a better passer. It's just working at Kansas State. I expect them to have another good year. I won't predict they're going to win the Big 12, but I expect them to have a good year. There's a lot more known about Kansas State this year going in than there was last year, and it's good to see people have success. Chris Klieman is a good man. He has treated me. He was one of the first people that called me after the end of my tenure at WHB. He called me up and invited me to practice. He even made a joke, says, now that you're not working, you can come watch practice. I'm like, okay. Couldn't have been nicer to him, me. I've had a couple dinners with him and Jim Colbert are around Bill Snyder, and there's some weird things going on. You know, Sean Snyder's over at KU, so I don't think Bill Snyder's going to be allowed at Kleiman's practices now. Kleiman doesn't feel like he's in the shadow of Bill Snyder anymore. Clearly, he's like, I've built my program. We're doing our thing. I'm here for the long haul. I've signed a contract. We're going for great things. I want to take us to the next step. Clearly, that's where Chris Klieman is. And it's creating a little friction, I think, probably between him and Bill Snyder. And Klieman didn't appreciate having Sean Snyder on the staff when he inherited the job. I get all that. I get all that with coaches. You know, we'd ask the same thing. If Chris Klieman were hanging around the program, would Bill Snyder allow him to come to practice? The answer would be no. So these coaches are kind of all alike in that way. Kleiman's a good dude. He's a hell of a coach in K-State. I'm happy for him that he comes to Kansas City now, and it's a big deal. That it's a big deal. Okay. Michael Jordan is the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets in the NBA. He's worth, they say, close to $3 billion now. He's purchased a car that's getting a lot of headlines because he doesn't care how much it costs. He just wanted it. He bought a Hennessy Venom F5 Roadster for $3.5 million. Well, that's nothing. If you have $3 billion, $3.5 million for a car is nothing. This car has 1,817 horsepower. That's incredible. The guy was good at playing a sport and has all this money. MJ is something else. It has now been talked about over the last several months that he's considering selling his majority stake in the Hornets and getting out of that, and that he would sell it to one of his minority partners and a minority owner of the Atlanta Hawks, that they're putting a group together. That's heated back up. Apparently Jordan put that on pause, waiting to see if they got the number one pick in the draft. Everybody wants the European kid. And the Spurs got the number one pick. They're going to get him. He's a phenom. He's supposed to instantly turn your franchise around. The number one pick was everything this time. The Hornets didn't get it. And now Michael Jordan's like, I think I'm done owning a basketball team. This sitting here and losing every year sucks. And I can't do anything about it as the owner because I can't suit up and play anymore. So it sounds like maybe he's going to be selling his interest in that, which would give him a lot more cash to go out and buy Hennessy Roadsters. I don't even know what a Hennessy Venom is. Some of you are going to send me emails. I know. Hennessy Venom F5 Roadster, $3.5 million. Sounds like a car I'd love to have. I just am not sure even if I had $2 billion, I'd spend $3.5 million on a car. I'd maybe spend $100 million on an airplane before I'd spend $3.5 million on some sort of car. Our final today is brought to you by Cross Kitchens, online at crosskitchenskc.com. Kansas City's remodeler is Cross Kitchens. Jump on this. Give him a call. Have Tim out to your house. He's a really good dude. Looks a little bit like Luke Bryan. 816-898-7047. He'll sit down and take a look at your project and work up an awesome bid for you and never pressure you into doing the job. It's totally on you. Ticketsforless.com reminding you with all this Chiefs news, it's time to buy Chiefs tickets. Do it right now at ticketsforless.com. Use the promo code KKHI and save 5 to 15% on any of the big games, including the rematch with the Eagles, the Bills, the Bengals, and of course, those division games like the Chargers coming to Kansas City. Use it. Or if you just call them at 685-3322, mention the podcast and they will take the discount off for you. It's also concert season. Any concert, anywhere in America, ticketsforless.com, and you save money at checkout using the promo code KKHI. And, of course, our friend John at Window World. I was listening to a host on 610 Sports Radio yesterday, Carrington Harrison, and he was doing a read for Window World, and it reminded me of a conversation that I had with John when he was in town for the Chiefs game. We went and saw him play the Chiefs and the Rams, and we had lunch that day, and we spent some time with him, went by their hotel, and a bunch of cool stuff. It was really a nice weekend that we spent with John, and he said, I want to sell even more windows. You're doing great for me, Kevin. And he goes, who's good in radio now? The people that I've had in the radio in the past, like you know, you're doing this different thing, and you're good at the, and your people go, who's good? I said, dude, I don't know the number. I don't know all the numbers, but I think Carrington Harrison has some talent, some gifts. I think he's fun. He's interesting. I think his listeners really, really like him and connect with him. Give him a shot. And I heard those spots yesterday, and I texted Carrington. I said, hey, that sounded great, man. I hope it's working out for you. Just want to let you know that when I last saw John, I dropped your name, and he's giving him a shot. So I think that's pretty cool stuff. We like doing that. I'm not one of these guys in the business that doesn't like sharing or complimenting others. So many people in our business just want to do their own thing and hate everybody else, and I'm not that guy. I love it when I see somebody young and talented come along and really appreciate it, because I appreciate what it takes to get the job done and get it done right. Our final is a brewery in Raytown called Kane Brewing Company. They're building a Ted Lasso pop-up bar. Ted Lasso pop-up bar. If you don't watch Ted Lasso, you probably know what it is. It's Jason Sudeikis. He's from basically Kansas City, and he's a soccer coach in England. It's a comedy. It's a little more serious this year than it's been, but it's a good and popular show, and there's a lot of stuff in there about Kansas City and the state of Kansas. Makes it really interesting that this is in Raytown, but I applaud Kane Brewing Company for getting this publicity for their place, because they're going to be on the map now. If you hadn't heard of Kane Brewing, you have now. May 27th to June 2nd is a Ted Lasso pop-up bar. They will have drinks inspired by the characters on Ted Lasso. It is no reservations, first come, first serve, and you can go check out the Ted Lasso bar. Pop-up bars are a new thing. The last 4 or 5 years, there's been the Taylor Swift pop-up bar. We know the Christmas theme pop-up bars come every December. And so they're very popular with people that like to socialize and go see something, and the decorations will be there. I'm sure there's going to be life-size cutouts. The staff will probably be dressed in costume and things like that. Ted Lasso pop-up bar in Raytown at a place called Kane Brewing from May 27th to June 2nd. I don't know that I'll get there, and I've never been there, but if I was going to go to a pop-up bar, that sounds better than a Christmas pop-up bar. And I know, for Miss Jessica, it sounds better than a Taylor Swift pop-up bar. So there you have it. Ted Lasso fans, get after it. And get after that like, follow, and subscribe button, please. Or find somebody to tell them about the podcast. We're growing every single day. We have you to thank for it. I can't thank you enough for all that you've done to help build this. It is so much fun to be here in my home talking about all these things that are important to me. Hopefully they're important to you. And hopefully it all makes sense, because I sure enjoy doing it, and I just couldn't be more proud that you hit the play button at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. to get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.